Okay, so this is a slightly different episode, Andrew. We're sitting in an office that's about to basically close at the end of the day.
Yeah, but not close, but move.
Ah, there we go. There we go.
Yeah, studio feels very empty at the moment, but lots of change and excited for a new office space.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing. I mean, we've been going for 14 years now. And as I drove into the office this morning, knowing it's the last time I'm driving to this office, and I came outside and the sign's gone. It's like, oh my goodness, is everything okay? But I mean, if you look at the staff, how Kate and them are excited and the changes and how Al and Judy have been working on this thing, I think it's a great move.
Yeah, very exciting. Obviously, our lease was coming up for expiry in June this year. And so I think Al and Jude started this process October last year, starting to look at options. And if you've met either of those two people, you know Al was managing the spreadsheet and looking at the details and the metrics. And Judy was like a little Jack Russell with the layout and the plans. And so between them, I think they really scrubbed properties and options. And we eventually found a place that's probably, I guess, less than 2 kilometers as the crow flies.
Yeah, it's just across the highway and down. So yeah, it's not even that. It's super close.
Yeah, so very close, which is good because there's still an air of familiarity. Everyone's driving similar routes into the office. It's not a massive change. It doesn't compromise or favor one set of individuals rather than another. And I think the biggest thing is that we now have a new space, which is larger for the next 5 years. Yeah. And we are saving money over the long run as well. So it's been an amazing time here at the Design Quarter from the first shop, 111 downstairs.
Oh, man.
I remember coming in the early days with Jono and, sharing updates with you and Madikwe about how we found this place. And still even then thinking, what the hell are we doing coming into a space like this?
Do you remember we came into the office, I think it was August 2011, 12. We came in and it was this huge office with one table in the corner and the three of us sitting there.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, okay, I gave up a lodge life for this.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. What a ride.
Long time ago. And amazing to see how the team's grown. And I think, very much like what that office afforded us back then, this new space is going to be the catalyst for the next season.
Yeah. It was interesting, Judy. We had on every Monday morning, we have a staff meeting, the Monday morning meeting. And Judy this morning at the end asked me, so because everybody, it's chaos, right? There's stuff everywhere. There's Tupperware that people have left here. There's files. And she asked about, something like motivation. I'm like, oh my, what do you say? But I think what was an interesting thing is with the change happening, because it's affecting every single staff member, this big change. So if you have momentum on that big change, it's easy to start bolting on small things. I mean, if Don, for example, wants to get better at his email, use this space. You're in a new space. So this change, I think, is a start of a lot of other change, both for us, for you, me, for Jono, for the company. And it's interesting how timing has worked out.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think there's obviously a lot of change, and we're going to expand on that now, but it's whether it's the catalyst, I don't know. It's almost like there's been a snowball that's been gathering momentum over time.
Yeah.
Obviously from a workspace within the company, lots of good change and cleanups and just tidying things up a little bit over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And then obviously from a personal side, from your perspective as well.
Yeah. It's been a ride. It's probably one of the morning of the 12th of January, which when I asked you and Jono to have a meeting and sit down and give you guys a letter to the effect that I'm going to step down as director and from operations and stay a shareholder, probably one of the most difficult decisions of my life. I mean, we started this thing 14 years ago as a dream, as an idea, and here we are, offices changing, my road's changing, you've had immense growth for the last while, which is amazing, we'll talk about the change. So yeah, it's still, I often say, it feels like the world is spinning around twice a day currently with everything going on.
Mm. Yeah, I'll second that. It has been crazy is probably the best word, best way to put it. But
yeah.
I think, like you say, there's a lot of timings on this.
Yeah.
And in some respects, it may not be ideal. There's challenges within that. But in the other way, there's, obviously start of a new financial year at the beginning of March now, start of a new lease with this new office space, and the start of a new chapter and journey for you, which I think it must have been very difficult to make that move. Maybe just tell us a little bit about that, because I think there's obviously been a seed that was there before we even started this company of, your formal qualifications were in sports and psychology.
Yeah,
And you know, the change over time, I think anyone who's followed you online for a while knows that there's been, you know, you've been pursuing an interest in this, and how have you handled those two, managed them, and then eventually got to the point where it's like, I need to get clarity and make a decision on it.
I think going back to studies, I mean, I was, and I've mentioned this in some episodes and writings and stuff, but I was finished my honors and I was starting my master's in psychology to finish. And as life would have it, the opportunity came to compete in gymnastics. And I went to my dad, you must have heard this. And I said, hey, what do I do here? Do I finish the road I'm on, which has always been the plan since young, or do I go and compete? And he said that thing to me where, whatever you decide, we'll support you. I'm like, please tell me what to do.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, no help really. But looking back, great help. So I followed that route. And even though, I mean, the ride we've had is amazing. I mean, the gratitude for the things we've done, the people we've met, the value we've added, the way we've changed people's lives. But that didn't take away the fact that there was still something. It was, how did someone say it? Friend of mine mentioned it's a bear he had to kill. Like from back then, it was this thing. And it got to a stage, and I think you and I have spoken about this with Jono as well, is the company's gone through seasons. I mean, Jono was instrumental in helping us to get up and running. I had my time. I mean, the way you're running the things now is just amazing. And with that, being able to come back, and I remember we spoke about this, it was for about a couple of years ago. I came back to the office, and it's always a weird Arctic blues. You come back, sit in the corner, and it's like, everything's running. It's working. Everything's doing what it should. The plan we had is executed. And it's at that stage, I think, where that pull from both sides is like, I, for good or bad, I have a jury from Wild Eye, you identify, but then there's this voice getting louder and louder in the back. And it's difficult, as you'd know as well, with all the travels, where there's never continuity, where you get to execute against, for example, training, or, I mean, date night or whatever it is. There's always this breaks. And it just got to a stage where even with the breaks, that voice got louder and louder and louder. And towards the end of last year, it was tough, because you've got this thing, and I love going in the field with people to do these things, right? But that voice was just too loud. And at that stage, it took a lot of conversations. Dad, a lot of conversations. And eventually, I had my 50th birthday in January, and it wasn't a midlife crisis. Been there, done that before, so that's cool. But it got to the stage where you realize, you know what, I'm at the stage now. What other value can I bring? Sitting back, looking at the company, and again, the direction that it's going, how senior management is driving it, the new energy, and we could talk about that, that you seem to have found in this role. I'm like, this is amazing. And I think because of that, I felt comfortable to make a decision. If it was battle stations, they're like, oh my God, I'm needed and this and that, it would have been different. But I think, like you said, things just came together. It's the office, the financial year end. It's the you finding a beautiful cadence. I mean, Kenya, us aligning. It's just all of these things align. And finally, I was at the place where, you know what, I think I should do this. And it does seem a bit, maybe it's a bit woo-woo, but there's this voice inside that just said, you need to do this. It's an interesting space.
Yeah. And so I think for anyone who's got change, let's think about any other role in an organization. You get a new opportunity and off you go. How much of a voice was the, no, but you can't because of what people will think, given how much, and I can think all the way back to early chats where we highlighted the risk of this thing being too tied to individuals. And that was, you know, Marlon, you and me, and people went out to travel with one of us, and it wasn't about the company. And, you know, that was a number of years ago, and we made it a conscious decision then to build the brand and the company rather than individuals. But over the years, there's still that element of, well, you know, there's this, I don't know if it's something that we put on ourselves, and this is why I'm asking the question from that voice inside of things, is what will people say? The followers, the old faithfuls, the rest of the photographic community.
Sure.
you know, given the online world and social media particularly, we tend to hear those voices and accept those voices quite a bit. So maybe this is a little bit of a life coaching moment as well. But to, you know, how much of that was something that delayed saying, well, I can't do this because of my obligation to? Does that make sense?
No, that's
not a deep one.
No, it is. I think it's a very good question. It was 2016-17 when we were, I think we just kind of popped that bottleneck. And 2016 was the year, I think it was my biggest travel year. It was about 200 and something days. And at the time, you're like, go, go, go. This is amazing. Looking back, it's like, whoa, man, that was rough. Mm. But at that stage, you were running on maybe 2016-17-18. And I always say to people, never define yourself by something that can be taken away from you. And for no, it wasn't the plan, but with a podcast, it was, hi, I'm Jerry from Wild Eye. It just became a thing. And it was, even at that stage when there was a voice whispering once every 10 weeks, hey, maybe there's something else, is your butt. I'm that. It's that. So the voices obviously make a difference, but I think maybe it's with age. Maybe it's with my own voice getting louder. You get to a point where, who am I going to listen to? Because when I'm alone, I put my pillow on the my pillow on the head, my head on the pillow in the evenings. What voice is there? It's mine. But the online world, we can have 200 people saying, that's amazing, good call. One person will say, oh, you're an idiot for doing that. And that's what we focus on.
Mm. And I over-index on that.
Totally, totally. So depending where it comes from, listen, who is saying it and why they're saying it. It's been real. It's my identity and yours and John has been tied up in this thing for 14 years, literally has. And anybody that's going to feed that then is the confirmation. Ah, you see, I knew I shouldn't have done this because John said this, Sarah said this, they said this. And I think that's probably one of the things I struggled with the most or wrestled with the most over December going into Jan is, but what about, and I'm thinking of regular clients, right? What about them? Because we had such great times out there. And they're going to think I'm disappointing them. Mm. But it's not the case. I think people will understand. And again, I mean, it's not a clean break. We'll get to that. But it has. It's been a tough and still is. I go every single day between, oh my goodness, this is exciting. There's so much potential to what the hell are you doing? 300 times a day.
Yeah.
It's that dichotomy of it. But at the end of the day, I had to, and it was journaling and speaking to people and whatever the case is. And this is the way to go. For me now, it's been interesting.
Yeah, I think, you know, the other part of that is that we take this so personally and have taken this so personally. You know, we spend a lot of time with guests in the field and a lot more time with multiple repeat guests in the field. And so eventually you kind of, there's relationships and friendships that evolve and develop there, and so you feel like almost you're breaking out of that relationship space. But mm-hmm. moving forward, you know, you're still going to be doing and hosting guests. I mean, nothing's changing in terms of what's in your diary as it is. No. And your desire to still do specific trips, but you're going to be a bit more selective about where you go for how long and how frequently.
Sure. I think also it's, if we look at, and I'm not going to claim I'm an old man right now, I'm not going to do that, but you do get to a stage where, I mean, the 30, then 40, then 50, and I suppose where John is almost at 60, right, is your outlook on things, personal and life around you, changes. The things you want to achieve, it changes. It's not just financial. It's also growth and contribution. And within that space, I mean, I'm not the same I was when we started this thing. Neither are you, John, or you, any of us. And you got these changes. And because it's such a dynamic thing with people and around the campfire in Mara, Svalbard, you're not going to be there up in a few months' time, and you've got the polar bears and the ice. You forget to look inward because everything is just so visual. It's amazing and it's awesome. But again, when it gets quiet, is if you're not changing, you're going to be stagnating. And I think that outlook of the value I can bring, knowing when I'm not good enough at something to step back, let someone like yourself run certain things. There's an awareness where as a younger man, you might have been arrogant, oh, fuck, I'll try this, I can do this, whatever. And there's a certain peace of mind for me with that. Even though it's a hard decision, I know the company's in a good space. You and I had a good couple of chats the last while. And I think, And I agree with what you said, that I think you and my relationship is going to be better because of it. It's things change. And if you fight that too hard, I don't think there's good from that. I really don't.
Yeah, it may seem cheesy, but we're sitting in a big sign on the wall here. It says, change the way you see the world. And that was never really initially intended to be our big tagline, but it was a big thing on the roof in that first office space. Yeah. And that became like our really part of our core. And I know every time that there is change, we lean on it. But it's something that, you know, change is the only constant in the world. There's lots of supposedly cheesy ways to look at it, but that really is part of it. And we've seen guests' photography change. We've changed over the years.
Oh, 100%.
If I think all the way back, you know, to our early days where we started dovetailing on things with Photo Africa and whatever telling thing, there was a guest house in Joburg where we did a digital photography course. And I remember, I don't know if you know this, but I remember sitting in the corner kind of watching, and, you know, I was there to help and do all of those things. But when it came to the point where you would call on me to come and present something, man, my heart rate and being able to talk in front of a group, then it was like six people.
Yeah.
You know, it was not easy for me. And it's, so if I think about the change now, I'm so comfortable. I have no problem doing it.
Yeah.
From a leadership perspective, the growth, the things that I've learned from a business perspective, you know, drawing on what Jono brought into the business, but also then continuing to learn and grow and evolve in that space. Those early days, there was, you know, this thing of change the way you see the world. We've had to do that as much as we've helped guests to do that for themselves.
Yeah.
So we facilitated that process, but at the same time, actually,
yeah.
We've had to mirror it
sure.
in our own right.
I was having I don't remember it was with a dad. We had breakfast once in a while and we spoke about that, change the way you see the world. And that is kind of what we have always done for clients. It's still the North Star. Even if I'm only going to come and run a Mara and an Octi, that is still the North Star of what the company does. But, and I thought I was very creative here, but I said to my dad, well, what we have done, you, me, us, all the staff here and in Kenya, is we need to see the way that we change the world, because we have. Like, change the way you see the world, that's for the clients. We change the way you see it. We need to see the way we've changed it. And that, I think, is valuable. I think the staff need to know that. But, I mean, from those first days, I mean, six people, we'd still ran those wildlife photography courses to Pilansburg.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're sitting at height, and there's nothing but like one cormorant drying itself on a bright branch. But
and you make
this is the aperture, guys. You've got to photograph this thing. It's been a ride.
Yeah,
I've been a ride.
No, it's certainly evolved along the way, and I think that's part of, you know, life. And in order to remain relevant in a world that constantly changes, almost not necessarily have to reinvent yourself, but you have to just take stock and, you know, see how you've changed the world.
Yeah.
In order to continue changing the way that people see the world, and I think we've been very good with that over the years. You know, trying different things. Exploring new avenues. COVID forced a lot of change during, you know, a very difficult time. And through that, we build resilience as well.
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting, I spoke to something just more in due course. I mean, I'll share with people more, but, and there's a reason why I'm going to do this. So my brand over the last while has always been Jerry from Wild Eye, photographic guide, does Arctic stuff. And then also for the last while, kind of half running like a coaching thing on the side, but that brand has to change for me. So it's a coach and a speaker who also does the other things. But the reason I'm saying that is a lot of the frameworks is based on six human needs. If we look at Maslow all the way up, and I'm going to link this to what she said. So there's six human needs: certainty, uncertainty, relevance. Then you've got connection, growth, and contribution. And if I look at when we started this, and I know, I mean, at some stage, it could probably be argued, I went heavy on the brand, Jerry from Wild Eye, let's go, this, that, the other. And at that stage of age, of maturity, of getting into this thing, there was certainty and relevance was huge. Like, I want to be certain this thing's going to work. I need to be certain that we're going to build this thing. I need to be certain the guests are getting their value, their all of those things. But then there's also relevance that... A focus back then was I needed to prove that I'm relevant in the industry, in the space. Normal. I mean, we all have two of these things. And then as time goes, you mature, you get older, and then this is part of the conversation I had with myself end of last year, is certainty and relevance wasn't that important anymore. Been that, I mean, the proof is what we've created. And I've shifted to growth and contribution personally, and in contributing to, and this sounds so corny in my head, but contributing to Wildi, which I'm still a shield of, to you, to Jono, to the guest, to the staff, to Kenya, to all of those, but also to clients, just people online. So the focus is of trying to prove myself to how can I grow as an individual growth and contribute to everything I'm involved in. And again, but if you look back 5-6 years before COVID, whatever, if you started talking to me about now mental headspace and journal and kind of conversations, I'm like, are you joking? We do cameras, we go into ice. Blah, blah, blah. But it's been a road. It's been a long work on myself in order to get to that point. And I think Matthew McConaughey said it best, is the most difficult handshake you're ever going to do is with yourself. And I've done that and it feels good. But it doesn't mean that I'm disappearing off the face of the planet.
No.
And that through conversations that you and I mostly have had, and then with Jono as well, I think what we've been able to do with this change, this recalibration, I'm proud of us. I really am, of what we've been able to kind of achieve up until now and navigating this thing. I think it's been amazing.
Yeah, I think that also comes with maturity. You know, over the years, a bit of a theme has been to be able to have difficult conversations.
Yep.
And I think in any relationship, and for those listening, you know, even a shareholder relationship,
yeah,
it's very much like a relationship at home, except even more complicated because you've got, you know, multiple partners.
Yeah.
And personalities. And so, you know, that always does bring about a different set of challenges, a unique set of challenges. But again, as we've matured, we've been able to go through those. And I think, you know, this is just the most recent proof of exactly that.
Yeah. I think if I may, I mean, so obviously, I mean, I've had my change, and I think for good and bad, some of it's played off publicly because of the branding and stuff, different conversation. But I think because of that and because of what we've created, you've also had a lot of change. If I look at you 3 years ago, 6 years ago, and now, you're a new person and it's inspirational.
Yeah. Oh, I'm loving where I'm at the moment. It brings its own challenges.
Very much so.
But yeah, I'm enjoying the challenges that we have. We've, you know, obviously as the company's grown, we've brought in more structures and that sort of thing. We've got a team around us that are managing this thing. I think that contributes to why you feel comfortable to say, right, I'm going to step back because we've got the right people in the right seats doing the right things. And, you know, I take that as a compliment. Mm. So I think for you to be in the space where you can actually do that is huge. Mm. Yeah, it's an exciting new chapter for all of us. I think, you know, this new office move, your energy and moving into the space. And I'm very much excited for Svalbard because it's been a weird one. And I think, you know, looking back at it now, hindsight always makes, is it hindsight? What?
Hindsight's always 2020.
There we go.
Yeah.
One trip in the year so far under the belt, which was to Odzala, end of January, come back February, next trip, middle of June, which is almost unheard of. Obviously June through October is busy, but to be able to be here through managing all of this, through the office move, through getting everything back settled in and establishing a new rhythm and routine in that new space, I'm thankful for that opportunity and appreciate, you know, your and Jono's support in terms of driving the team. So I tell you what though, come 15th of June, when we get up north,
yeah,
there will be a single malt whiskey.
Yes, there will.
With Arctic ice.
Yes, there will.
because there's a lot on the go and a lot to manage. But yeah. I take that as a privilege.
Yeah.
The pressure is a privilege.
Yeah.
And I think the same would apply for you in this space now. There's pressure for you to perform, to make this shift.
Yeah.
And that's a privilege.
Yeah. I was actually, funny enough, I was looking through Instagram, I was looking for an image for Luke for social, and I found a picture of 2014 when we were up in Svalbard, of you standing next to the polar bear sign.
Oh, yeah.
There's a try, like an outside of town.
And we have to recreate that.
And then I saw pictures of you and I on the trip and we look so young.
Yeah.
It's 12 years ago.
Jeez.
And talking to those, for us to have started this thing and still be here and still growing and still adding a new office and being able to create these relationships and strengthen them, I'm actually very proud of us. Yeah. It's been absolutely amazing. It's been a ride, eh?
Yeah, It really has. And I think we've often used, you know, me and my analogies by now, but we've spoken about this at 14 years, we really are hitting our teens, you know, the voice is starting to drop, the muscles are starting to build, and you find your identity, you become more confident and comfortable in your identity. And so that's really where we are as a business. I say I would say that it's a very apt and appropriate relationship.
Yeah.
Analogy to say that is where we are as a business.
Yeah.
And excited for the next chapter and to still being able to call on you when things get tough.
Mm. No, it's amazing. I mean, the focus for me obviously is shifting a bit. It's scary as hell, not going to lie. I actually have to look at putting up a proper office at home, which is a different discussion. But
makes SARS claims a little bit easier.
Oh, yes. Office space and my coffee machine has got SARS and so on. But it's been, I would like to hear now, I mean, we are putting a video out as well that goes with this. People can see it on YouTube or on our Instagrams. But to share with you the gratitude I have for you and for Jono. Jono, if you listen to this, I hope you getting game drives and Madikwe because he's currently there, he's raining out, but leave him be. But I don't think I would have been comfortable and it would have made the decision a lot more difficult had it not been for you and the person you are and for Jono and his support as well. So thank you for that. Again, like we said in all this narrative, it's not an end, it's a recalibration. But deep gratitude for you, man.
Thank you, bud. I appreciate it. And I echo the same sentiments. If I think back to Marivale recording a talking travel episode.
Oh, my goodness.
And being in front of camera, if being in up and presenting at a DP course was a lot, being in front of camera and recording videos back then was a challenge. It's through your inspiration and, you know, you pushing and prompting me to do certain things that we are here. And the same goes for Jono. And, you know, didn't know what a P&L and a GP was all those years ago. So I think that just, you know, goes to show how things have evolved and how people have grown. And I'm again, really grateful for the way that we've been able to chat and navigate this this transition for you.
That's
and
amazing.
I think probably for some people it might sound a bit cheesy, but I really do believe that the whole thing of, you know, you've known Jerry as Jerry from Wild, because that was...
Oh, it was a thing.
I remember Linda Clues. Jerry from Wild Eye. Yeah. You know, it's just Jerry Armstrong even.
Exactly.
You know, that has been so much a part of your identity. And I think we've said it in the newsletter that doesn't change. You are still Jerry from Wild Eye.
Sure.
But that's not all that you now. And so it's an exciting new season for you. And again, I thank you for your appreciation, but we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you as well. And
man.
So that's the most important thing is to recognize that.
That's cool. Man.
And
amazing.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for that.
Well, we'll be in touch then. I mean, if anybody's listening and you want to get in touch, ask Andrew, ask myself, whatever. But again, it's not going to be disappearing. There is still podcasts. In the next episode, I'll do a bit of a breakdown of how we're going to navigate that forward. You're going to hear a lot more from the guys and different intros and stuff. But yeah, it's been 14 years. It's not done yet.
No.
Thank you to you for everyone listening, for all the support. It's been amazing. And we'll continue to do change the way you see the world.
Yeah. And I think our next podcast together, if not before then, we're definitely going to do something out of Svalbard.
100%. And we can get Bo and Christian involved. I can tell you now, and this should be offline, but you give them one or two drinks, there's some good laughs in there.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Andrew,
thank you very much, bud.